Yes, Jesus was popular with the crowds. Jesus was popular with the common people. Not so much with the religious leaders and the authorities of his day, not so much with the scribes and the Pharisees who came to hear what he had to say and grumbled about it in the background. I love that word grumble, by the way. Grumbling kind of sounds like what it sounds like, grumble, 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 grumble. That's what they were doing. They were grumbling. The people, the common folk, the average everyday person was there to hear, to listen, to be touched by, to be healed by, to be fed by Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners, these religious folks said, they had come to hear. The kind of people that the church, frankly, gets uncomfortable around. The kind of people that
would rather, you know, stay away or
go get bathed before you come. The kind of people that the church is just squinchy around. Afraid that their sins might somehow infect us. When I was pastor in Oak Cliff at Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church, I used to go over to the Bishop's Arts Cafe on a frequent basis and have coffee at the Starbucks that's there. And I'd sit there and I'd enjoy a pastry and my coffee and just chat with the people who were around there at that time. And some of those people, I was told later by someone who was in the know, I don't know how they knew it, but they told me, these people are some really big sinners, Pastor. You should stay away. Really? I guess that's where I need to be, having coffee with the sinners. The kind of people that church folk are often uncomfortable around. These were the kind of people that were coming to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were upset. He's having dinner with, he's drinking coffee with tax collectors and sinners, riffraff of the society. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Scandal! Jesus' response was targeted and to the point. Which one of you? That's a rhetorical question, because all of you would do this. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I'd like to amend that last, to retranslate that last line just a bit. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 self-righteous persons who think they don't need to repent. I got lost once. I mean, really lost. I was about 5 years old. It was close to Christmas, and we had gone to North Park Mall there in Dallas to see Santa Claus. Now, when I was a kid of 5 years old, you know, North Park sounds like North Pole. And so I thought I was going to North Pole to see Santa. So we were all excited. We got there. We had to wait in line to see Santa. And then we had to wait longer while Mom and Dad were doing some shopping. And I was supposed to stick close to my brother, but you know what's going to happen. But my brother, he wanted to go look at toys that I didn't want to look at. So he let go of my hand, and I wandered off down a particular aisle at the store and got lost in the rapture of looking at all sorts of wonderful toys that I might want for Christmas. I was upset. I distinctly remember thinking to myself, I wish I had seen this first before I told Santa what I wanted. And time went on. And I suddenly realized, I don't know where Mommy and Daddy are. I remember walking out of the aisle into the larger area of the store, and Mom and Dad were not to be seen. I think it was Sears. And Mom and Dad were not to be seen anywhere. And I started walking around the store, getting more and more afraid. I couldn't find Mom and Dad. I looked and looked and looked, and when we were little, everything you have to look up at, and everything is big. And I remember how terrified I was, how scared I was. I was wandering around looking and looking, and I couldn't find them. And I went around a corner, and there was a set of escalators there. And I remember I looked up, and I saw Winnie the Pooh sitting there with a Santa hat on his head. And I stood there. And tears were streaming down my cheeks, and I was scared. And suddenly, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I looked up. And there was a police officer. Are you lost, little boy? Yeah, I'm lost. And he picks me up. And he takes me to the customer service booth, and they get on the microphone and they say that would the parents of Greg come to the information booth? He's lost and wants his mommy. And I can remember waiting, and here comes this woman up, and it's not mommy, it's Greg here. It's not mommy. Some other Greg was lost in the store. And I'm standing there, I'm in tears. This isn't my mommy. I don't know where the other Greg is. I'm Greg, but there's another one. And I'm waiting, and then finally, I see my mom come running around the corner and over to me. And she scoops me up. And in tears, she hugs me, and I'm crying and happy at the same time. Because I had been lost, and now I'm found. I was lost, I was scared, I had to go potty! And I didn't know where my mommy was, and then I was found. We're all lost, in one way or another. This is what we mean when we talk about the doctrine of original sin. We're lost, and we're in need of a Savior. We're lost sheep. We've gone astray. We're one of the 99 and 100, and we're lost and need to be found. We're a bunch of tax collectors and sinners, and we're lost and we need to be found. We may think we're doing pretty good, and we're still lost and need to be found. Those who don't think they need a Savior, those who think they're doing great, those who think they've got it all and a bag of chips too, they also are lost. I need to be found. There's not a single one of us who isn't at some point lost and in need of being found. We are lost sheep, and we've gone astray, and we need for our shepherd, the good shepherd, to come out and find us and gather us in. And Jesus does. He comes out into our lostness. He comes out into the wilderness of our lostness, and he gathers us in. He's not afraid of our sin. He's not afraid of us being tax collectors and sinners. He's not afraid of having coffee with us. He's not afraid of sitting down with us. He embraces us with his love. Nothing we could ever do would cause him to turn his back on us. Nothing we could ever do, no place we could ever go, would cause him to not open his arms wide to us. and gather us in. Even those who think they are so righteous that they don't need to be found, he opens his arms to them too. To the 99. And gathers them in. It's the story of the prodigal son and the older brother all over again.
The prodigal son has gone astray.
He's spent his money in dissolute living. He's poor and hungry, and he says, I'll go to my father, and he'll receive me with love, and I'll work as a servant in his fields, for they, the servants, eat better than I am now. And he goes home, and his father gathers him in and throws a party for him. Meanwhile, the older brother is out in the field. He's been there. He's been working. He's been a good son. And when he sees the partying over his younger brother, he gets mad. I've been good. I've stayed home. I've worked my fingers to the bone. I've been here. Why does there have to be a celebration when this son of the father who has wasted his inheritance with dissolute living comes home? It's my fatted calf you've killed, the older brother says. That's a lot of us too. And that's the church. We think we're righteous. We think we are righteous. I taught Sunday school this morning. And I was told when I came up into the sanctuary today, well, one of the dear saints in the Sunday school class said, you didn't have to get all dressed up for us here for worship. You know what? You're right. But that's what pastors are expected to do. We put on these robes, the stole, which is the symbol of the ministerial office of elder, nice and fancy. We put them on.
Put on the cross.
Which is a reminder of he who died for us. We put on a robe, an alb or a robe like this one to hide behind. Now
y'all know, I told you over a year ago why I wear a robe. To make sure my zipper doesn't show if it's come down. So just a moment.
Yeah, you're okay.
Wear a robe.
To remind myself that I'm not supposed to be in the way of the word. The robe, the stole, the cross, outward symbols, not of righteousness. Not of perfection, because I certainly am not. Instead, the robe and the stole is a reminder to me that I must be out of the way.
That I must not get in the way of the Word of God. That my own righteousness, which is like dirty rags, has to be covered up and hidden. To remind me that it's in Christ's righteousness that I stand.
I'm like the 99 who thinks he doesn't need a Savior. Unless I hide in the robe, and then I am reminded that I am the one who was lost in the wilderness too. Lost, and whom the Savior, Christ Jesus, the Shepherd, is coming to find. And the one who finds, he takes and puts on his shoulders and carries him home. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are lost sheep in need of a Savior. We are lost sheep. Be we part of the 99 or the one, we are lost sheep in need of a Savior, and that's true for all of us. The wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the Savior is here. The Shepherd is here, and he's here to gather us in. and embrace us and forgive us and love us and carry us home. When you see this shepherd coming, don't run, except to run to him. Don't run away. Run into his arms. For we were lost, but now we've been found. We were lost in our own righteousness, which is dirty rags. But now we've been found and placed on the shepherd's shoulders. And he is carrying us home to great rejoicing and celebration. Let's ride on the shepherd's shoulders. Let's be carried to glory everlasting by his grace, by his love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen.